The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
And basically saying you can't meet while other businesses or entertainment places are allowed to, that sort of thing. There sort of seems to be some unfair things going on regarding that. And a lot of Christians advocate, hey, we should meet together, use the social distancing, do the things, you know, legitimately, but we should go ahead and meet together, at least in small groups. And I've advocated that myself.
Hello and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who has been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he's traveled the entire continental U.S., preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience and the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Well, hello everyone out there. This is Larry, your host, Sharing Your Faith. And today's show, or this week's show, or this month's show, depending on how you look at it, and we try to post when we can lately. It used to be by the week, and if you're listening on First Love Radio, you'll notice there is a lot of repeats of the same program for several weeks until I can get a new one posted. But we aim to do that today, and hopefully the air conditioning in the background is not going to be too loud for you, but it's 90-some degrees today here in the studio. It's very hot out, so I wanted to have the air on. Also, yesterday being my birthday, I got a lot of birthday wishes on Facebook, and I've turned 63, so the time for me is ticking closer and closer to, at some point, death, like all of us. But I wanted to bring up this week's show on a subject, and you could entitle it after the scripture there in Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, 21 there. It says, I'll just read it. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. And of course, that was a miracle that was done to the man that was at the beautiful gate. The reason I want to bring this up is I want to talk about it because of the biggest thing in the news right now. You'd have to be pretty much a hermit if you have not heard of this pandemic, if you're unaware of all the things going on around the world. Here in the United States, there's a great controversy now over how long they should have this shelter in place. How long can the government tell us that we can't meet as a church, and there's people that are out of work. There's all kinds of crazy things going on. And I wanted to address it as it pertained to evangelism. A couple years ago now, I've done a show on it. I got an article on it. I've entitled The Police and the Street Preacher. And in that article, I maintain, as good citizens, we as Christians, we want to obey the authorities. And that is clearly taught and found there in Romans chapter 13. There's another passage in Peter about the same subject, about obeying those in authority. And a verse in Titus as well, when it comes to obeying the governing authorities. I wanted to balance that. Now, in the article, I said I want to take the exception and deal with that first. And the exception was, and I use this verse and a few others, I believe, to talk about when is it okay to disobey the authorities and not obey the authorities. The Bible tells us to basically keep a low profile, you know, obey authorities, just do our work, have a good testimony, mind our own business, that sort of thing, live in peace as much as we can with each other. And that's the mandate. It's the posture that Jesus would have us to take, not to be a bunch of rebel rousers and everything else. But we do want to stand up for our freedoms when we are able to. We have format in this country to do so legally by voting, by protesting, by signing petitions, speaking your mind, whatever it might be. I wanted to address this idea of when is it time to disobey the authorities and go with God. Well, right now, there's a great controversy over if the church should be meeting against the authorities. The shelter in place, and there's these rules. Well, it's very clear in some situations they're singling out Christians and they're singling out the church and causing them to have a lot of problems trying to hand out tickets, trying to arrest people, and basically saying you can't meet while other businesses or entertainment places are allowed to, that sort of thing. There sort of seems to be some unfair things going on regarding that. And a lot of Christians advocate, hey, we should meet together, use the social distancing, do the things, you know, legitimately, but we should go ahead and meet together, at least in small groups. And I've advocated that myself. I'm not saying that if you have a church of 300, 400, 500 people, you should all just show up on Sunday and jam in there close together. I'm not necessarily ready to say to do that. But I am ready to say that on a smaller level, we have a men's group at the church I'm going to now. We're meeting on this program called Zoom. And by the way, take advantage of these online programs where you can interact on the internet. Google Hangouts, I think Facebook now has a brand new one you can use. There's different ones. We use the group Zoom, the program Zoom. And we basically can see each other. If you have a camera, we have a microphone, and you can basically hold a meeting. So we have a Bible study. We have a prayer time. It's not the same as meeting together, that's for sure. But I've been advocating, let's meet together, you know, and stand the 6 feet apart, sit 6 feet apart, wear your mask if you must, whatever it takes, but go ahead and do that. I just think it's okay. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling together of the righteous, and so much more so when you see the day approaching. Well, some people would say, well, we're able to still accomplish that with the internet, and I realize that. It's not the same, though. I was just listening to the teaching last Sunday on the church there about the book of James, where it says how to treat a poor person when they come in versus a rich person, and they were showing favoritism, and James is rebuking them. Well, that can only be possible if you're meeting in person. So there's a lot of instances in the Bible where it definitely dictates a gathering together in person. There was no such thing as the internet when the Bible was written. I don't think that's what God intended, that it's okay. Now, granted, it's better than nothing, that's for sure. I say take advantage of it, but I think we should start meeting together, at least in small groups. This is my opinion. But now let's talk about evangelism, because to me, that's a little more clear directive. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in the case of the apostles here, they were strictly told not to do it. And they were going to go ahead and obey a higher law. God called them to go preach, and they were willing to suffer the civil disobedience by suffering arrest, beating, persecution, all that. And if we're willing to take that on, then I say we should be out there preaching the gospel like never before. There is a small difference, and it has to be acknowledged. This was the Sanhedrin, it's the governing authorities, that were telling them not to preach. Now, if you had a government agency or, say, a religious organization that you were under or whatever it might be that said, do not teach or preach in the name of Jesus, that is a direct, distinctive order not to preach in the name of Jesus, then you would say, I'm going to go against that. It gets a little feathery with the situation we have now, because what you have now is this idea, well, there's a virus out there and it's dangerous, and so we got to consider that sort of thing. I'm willing to take the repercussions of disobeying the authorities by going out and preaching, because to me it's essential. They have a lot of essential businesses open and everything else. To me, the gospel is more essential than anything else in the world because it involves men's souls. People dying without Christ, they're going to go to hell for eternity. I can't think of anything more important than that subject, that we have to be out there preaching. Now, we should be out there doing this all the time, regardless of what other things are going on. But it does spark more of an urgency in you when, you know, you see these things come into the earth. We don't know how much time we have, that sort of thing. So I'm willing to do it. Now, so far, what I've done out there, all we've been able to do is hold gospel signs up because we haven't gotten close enough to the people to hand out tracts. And I think people are afraid to take the tracts, get that close to you. So I'm not necessarily going to rely on tracts right now. I tried to preach a little today to the cars that were stopped at the intersections as they were waiting to turn out of the parking lot of a store as we held the gospel signs up. I don't have a problem with that. Maybe they heard some of my message, maybe they didn't, but they definitely would see the signs. I'm nowhere near them. I don't feel I'm putting them in danger. even if I have the disease, which I don't believe I don't have any symptoms. So I'm not concerned that the danger of the disease is outweighing, you know, what I should be doing as far as preaching the gospel. It is, however, something to consider if the only thing you're afraid of is getting in trouble with the government, getting in trouble with the authorities. We could be hiding behind this, being cowards. And my friend, I think, you know, there's a verse in the Jeremiah that says, if you stood with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? I'm paraphrasing that. In other words, if we can barely keep our witness up out there with this little bit of, oh, you shouldn't be out there, and they're not really enforcing it. Police drove by us a couple of times. They never stopped and said, you can't be out here. If we're unwilling to go out now, what are we going to do when the threat is more severe? I don't know. I would like to think that the Holy Spirit in us would unction us to where we would get some guts and go out there and go for it. But I'm afraid I'm wrong. I'm afraid that, look, if we can't even do it now, what are we going to do when a real persecution hits? But my friends, I would just say, we need to be out there preaching the gospel. Get out the gospel any way you can. Now, use social media. If you can't get out there, if you don't want to get out there for whatever reason, that's between you and the Lord and you and your family or whoever. But I would say at least try to witness however you can through social media, through video, through audio. Write people letters. Call them on the phone. It'll give you a chance to maybe catch up. There's one brother I know that acquainted with him, and I'm joining him on a prayer meeting now. They have a prayer meeting every day at 5 o'clock for a half hour. He was inviting people like me to join that, but he was trying to go over a list of fellows that he hadn't contacted in a long time, lost touch with, just to reacquaint. He has the time to do it now, and he knows everybody sort of has a lot of downtime, so he's now reacquainting himself with them. And some of them are unbelievers, but some are believers, but he's encouraging them in the faith too. That's part of the evangelist job. I mean, we want to, you know, preach the gospel to the lost, but we also want to encourage the saints as well as part of that, if at all possible, a secondary priority a lot of times. Because there's churchgoers, church people out in the streets. If we go out street preaching and you got a bunch of unbelievers, you're going to have a variety amount of churchgoers out there too. And some might be saved. And maybe they're not used to Bible verses. Maybe their church doesn't preach that much about the Bible. Sometimes we need to think of those people as well as we're giving out the gospel, that's part of our ministry as evangelists. So I'm calling all of you out there that would have an inclination to go out and give out the gospel in any way you can during this time. And so I don't want to belabor the point, my friends, but we definitely want to do that. Well, now also, I would probably want to bring up the fact that if you haven't received Christ yourself, maybe you've been going to church for a long time, maybe your faith is stale, maybe you're unsure if you're saved. A lot of times people lack assurance because they have a besetting sin. And I think that's a guard by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to give you assurance as long as you're living in sin. I think that's a good safety mechanism. You shouldn't have assurance of salvation if you're living in open sin. You need to repent of that and make it right with God. But sometimes there's a lot of reasons why people lack assurance. It could be the devil picking on you, you know, telling you lies, beating up on you. We don't want that to happen to you either. But sometimes it could be because people aren't really saved. Maybe they've been exposed to the things of God and they're just maybe on the outside looking in. Well, one of the things about salvation that I'm not going to say that's not talked about a lot, because I don't know if it is or isn't. But one of the things I want to stress is being saved by Jesus Christ is an experience that carries you through a lifetime. In other words, it isn't a raising your hand in a meeting to say you're saved and then you just go on with the rest of your life living it the way you were. There's a change that takes place. It says, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes new. And it has involvement in the concept of being born again, born from above. You see, when we're born into this world physically as little babies and we grow up, we are born under what is called Adam's race. In other words, Adam, the first man, we have him as a representative of the whole human race. In the beginning, in the garden, he was tempted, him and his wife Eve, and they were tempted by the devil, and they chose to disobey God, and they brought sin into the world, the concept of the law of sin and death, and everything that goes with it, God's curse upon this place, and everything else. Okay? So we're born with that inherent nature to sin. So we're sinners by nature. It's kind of like, it's natural for a dog to want to bark and bite sometimes, because that's just in their nature. That's what they do. And so that's what sinners do. We sin. So we are separated from God by our sin. And then we have our personal sins. We practice sin. We have sins of thought, word, and deed. I mean, if you add up all the different ways that sin has infected us, there's just no way out. There's no way out. We have to have a savior. We need someone outside of ourselves. And we have to be changed. And that's the idea. Religion is trying to obey a set of rules, and hopefully that will gain God's acceptance, and then he deems you good enough to enter into his heaven. But you see, that's a gospel of works. That's a religious system that has no bearing on the Bible. It is man's effort to reach up to God somehow. But my friends, you see, salvation is birthed in God. He's the one reaching down to us. And he is the one who initiates it. And Jesus, he came to seek and save the lost. So when Jesus came to this earth, one of his first, as he began his earthly ministry, of course, one of the things he did, he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he fulfilled the whole law of God in his life. He said that, which of you can accuse me of sin? And he said that to his enemies. Well, nobody could. He was perfect in every way. He didn't sin. He was tempted, but he didn't sin. And he represents now the human race different than Adam did. Adam represents in failure, disobedience, condemnation, judgment, death. Where Christ represents the human race with obedience, righteousness, all those good things, see? So when we come to Christ, when we put our trust in him and believe in him, then we are identifying with him now, and that is how we are going to please God. We can't please God in the things of our natural man, our flesh, as it's called. We can only please God by coming through faith in Jesus Christ. And then that's the idea. The Spirit of God causes us to be born again or born from above. We're born with a dead spirit, unresponsive to God. But when God touches us, he gives us a new heart, a new spirit, and it happens. It's outside of ourselves. I mean, when I was born again, it just happened to me, and I couldn't believe it. It was overwhelming. I thought, well, what just happened? I believe. You know, I didn't even come to, I came to a meeting. I followed this girl to the meeting because I wanted to date her, and I thought she'd see that I was being, quote unquote, a good Christian young man by following her to this and trying to fool her, I guess. I was fooling myself, but I was at the meeting, and all of a sudden something clicked when the guy was talking about the Lord and the Bible, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm born again. I even thought to myself, "What? Look what I did. I couldn't undo that." That was probably the most magnificent thing that stood out, as I realized whatever had happened to me at that moment, I knew I couldn't reverse it. I couldn't go back 30 seconds before and not believe. I all of a sudden believed, and I knew I couldn't change it, and that, quite frankly, it scared me. And it wasn't till later that I was rejoicing in my salvation. I was so shocked at it at first. I started to think, oh boy, that changes everything. It changes my whole life on earth. I thought to myself, what's the most important thing now is to get everybody to heaven that we can. We got to tell people about Jesus. I didn't even know to call it evangelism, but I believe that's when God gave me my calling to be an evangelist, to go out and proclaim his good news and his salvation day to day. And so, my friends, that's who Christ, he's God who came out of heaven and humbled himself to become a man. And he lived the life that you and I could not live. And then he laid down his life in a substitutionary death, dying on the cross. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he is alive. And we are called to repent and believe in him. And we are promised if we believe in Jesus, he will in no way, if we come to him, he will in no way cast us out. If we believe in him, we will have everlasting life. It is not just a mere intellectual assent, an agreement to some facts, but it's a true, genuine saving faith, a trust, where we're putting the weight of our lives, care of our soul, into his care. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And that there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. And so, my friends, if that's something you've never done, call on the name of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time. You may not have tomorrow. I was just reading the Proverbs here. I read each chapter of the Proverbs that corresponds with that day of the month. And then at the end of the month, if there's some left over, I catch up so that on the first I can start over with Proverb chapter 1 again. But the other day, without looking, but it said, the first verse was, don't boast in tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And I thought, how many people are making plans? How many people were making plans before this pandemic hit, before it changed our lives? Making plans, and all of a sudden people are out of work, or people are found to have the sickness, they're in the hospital, it's affecting each and every one of us, or they're told to stay home and they got claustrophobia or something. It could be anything. We must come to Christ. We must trust in him, and we will never be put to shame if we trust in Christ. Oh, my friends, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. All right, my friends, we're going to take a short break for a station ID. And when we come back, we're going to be looking at five brief questions. I get a lot of the time frequently asked questions about the street ministry and the police. And so we're going to answer those. It's recorded from another broadcast, but we'll return right after this.
Helping you keep God as your first love. This is firstloveradio.org.
All right, welcome back to the program. This is Larry, your host, Sharing Your Faith Radio. If you're listening on First Love Radio, welcome. Be sure to check out some of our other programs we have on First Love. We have a lot of new ones, and hopefully you'll enjoy those as well. All right, we're going to go right into the questions and answers I have on a show I did about the police and the street preacher. I'll give you those links on my website as well for this one. Let's take a listen. The first question that I have down is, the question is, do I ask permission from police or city officials before preaching? My answer there is no. Inevitably, they will say it's not okay. And at that point, you can hurt your conscience to preach anyway against what they just told you. It is better to preach until you're told you can't do so. Now, a lot of people, for whatever reason, they think that, you know, they have to be okayed by the police or endorsed by the police. Look, we have freedom of speech in this country. Now, you may have some issues regarding an amplifier, but I've known ministries that don't even preach and they just want to go out and talk to people or even help them in homeless people and that, and they feel that they have to get the police's approval. I would say just go out there. You're serving the Lord. You're not breaking the law. Just let the police come to you if there's any problem. Because if you ask a police officer, hey, can I preach here? He could easily just say no. And then what are you going to do? It's better to preach. I can't tell you how many times I've actually sat up on a corner when there were already police officers right there. I've had different responses. So we'll leave it at that. We're going to go to the second question here. And it's, do I stop preaching when I see a police officer or a police car? This was an actual question someone asked me, a fellow preacher, up and coming a man that was out with me in the streets of Oakland, and he was preaching, and here come a police car driving by and kind of slow, and he thought, well, maybe somebody called the police on him. But my answer to that is no. Don't stop preaching when you see an officer or a police car, because then it indicates you're doing something wrong. So we want to go out there with a fullness of faith, pure conscience in this area. Okay, question number three. What do you do if someone threatens to call the police? For example, someone walking by, you know, on the street, and they might say, hey, I'm going to call the cops on you. My answer is this. Unlike a lot of people, but here's my answer. I encourage people who are hostile, that are objecting, to call the police and not to take the law into their own hands.
Their presupposition is that you will be afraid of the police coming and it will defuse them when you tell them to call. See, they're assuming that you feel you're doing something wrong too and you're kind of encroaching your freedom of speech and so on and so forth. So they fear if they threaten to call the police and you'll back down. But I encourage them to call. It diffuses them in many cases. I would just guess an estimated roughly 2/3 of the cases, they will not call the police. And if they do call the police, a lot of times it takes them a long time to show up since it's not a real priority. Now that's for big cities. You get out into the rural areas, you get nothing else for the police to do. They might like to come and give you a hard time. Okay, question. What do I do if the police threaten to arrest me? My answer is to pray. Okay, pray. Usually they will give you time to think about it. This issue is up to you. If you plan to take the issue to court, then I would say get arrested. This type of arrest is usually what I call catch and release. Like fishermen, you know, they catch the fish and then they release them. It's highly unlikely you will do any real jail time. And that's in the U.S., of course. Now, if you're not willing to fight the system in the areas of free speech, then I would say don't get arrested by stopping the preaching and moving to a new area. You can always opt to stay and not use the amp. And usually this is when the amplifier is involved. They'll say, oh, you can't do that. So that's my advice there. The next question we have is that I have down here, how should I respond if I was actually arrested? Well, my answer is use your right to silence. Don't argue or threaten. Be docile. Don't expect special treatment if the officer is a Christian. And pray on the way to the station or jail. Just common sense things. Most of the audience out there, you've probably never been arrested. And so I've been arrested many times, but not for preaching the gospel. And so that's a story to be shared in another time, perhaps. Okay. The other question I have here, what steps do the police usually take for noncompliance? My answer is, number one, it's a polite request to comply. Number two, they would then give you a verbal warning. Number three, citation. Number four, confiscation of equipment and or arrest.
Well, that's it on the questions. And I'm going to spend the last couple minutes here, a couple of things here quick. Again, go to the website. You'll get some links to similar broadcasts, these questions, the article I have on the police and the street preacher. I would encourage you to go to SOS Ministries website. They have written up a full thing on evangelism and the current pandemic and their experiences as well. I'm going to take the rest of the time to pray, and then the announcer will give you all the website information right before the end of the program. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to lift up a prayer for our nation. We ask that you would, in your wrath, remember mercy, and that you would accomplish all that you have purposed through this. We believe that in your sovereignty, this is not something that took you by surprise. In fact, you arranged all this. At the very least, you allowed it. At the very most, you caused it. Perhaps your judgment, perhaps it's just things that are related to the last of the days, of the end times. We can't say for sure. But we do know for sure that you are God still on the throne. We give you all the glory, all the credit, all the focus that should be on you, Lord. Forgive us our sins, be with us as individuals and as a nation, and help us through this process. We pray that if the danger is gone, Lord, whatever danger there may or may not have been by being in place and sheltered, that that would be removed so people could get back to work, get back to their lives, but most importantly, back to corporate worship and the things of God. And we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.
striving to declare God's Word all day and all night. This is the streaming ministry of FirstLoveRadio.org.